One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
For all of you here, can you remember my gap year? Used to have it easy, smoked two blunts, then got queasy. Then went home and I ordered a wheezy delivery to try and get some sugar back inside of yo. But then I lost all my hair and they just laughed at you, pointing all their fingers saying, who's this motherfucking dude? Used to be cool and now he's a massive fucking loser. Used to be rich and now he can't afford a round of the boozer. And then my old boss comes in and says, your performance is bleeding. He says, your hairline's receding, you're a little motherfucking dude. Used to have it all, but now you don't even have a clue. And I say, easy, what have I done wrong? And he says, since your hair's gone, it's all gone wrong. I said, shit, I've seen the similarities of that too. Used to bang blonde girls and clap them, and now they don't even want to come round to fuck me too. They don't want to suck on my little dick, and even that's got smaller since I lost my fucking lid. So what am I to do? And I'm just sitting there thinking, I used to be popular, now I'm on the DLR heading out eastbound to Poplar. I used to live in Clapham making money, all was good, and now I'm living East London in the fucking hood. What do I have to do to combat now? Please tell me how. He said you gotta go to suns.co.uk and sort out that brow, sort out that hair, sort it out somehow. I said how? He said, use the code Rigbiz40. It'll give you 40% off on all their different hair regrowth packs. In 3 months' time, before you know it, your hair will be back. Thank you so much. I used the code Rigbiz40, and now my life's back on track. Go to the Sun's website now and get 40% off. Sort it out, boys. It's never too late.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
A bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Rigbiz Podcast. And as the English fall desperately short against the Irish at HQ, we have the greatest pundit in the game in Mr. Archie Curzon to try and unravel the cracks.
Posters love surrounding me, lost in a world of fantasy. Every night she comes to me and gives me all the love I need. Now this hot girl, she's not your average girl. She's a morphoronic dream from a magazine. And she's so fine, okay? Designed to blow your mind. She's a dominatrix supermodel beauty queen.
Are you okay, Archie?
I dream about a girl as a mix of Destiny Child. Just a little bit of Madonna's wild style with Janet Jackson's smile.
Have you put the bottle
down
since the weekend?
Throwing a body like
on?
Jennifer, you've got the start of my liquid dreams.
Right, let's get on with the podcast now, Archie Gavin. What is going on, sir?
Sorry, I've just rediscovered O-Town. And my God, for the O-Towners out there, they will know that song is absolutely unreal.
Well, you don't seem to be...
What a way to start a pod.
Yeah, but you don't seem to be...
What a weekend of Six Nations.
You don't seem to be too upset that English lost at home to the Irish.
Mate, you can't be upset. You can't knock the boys' efforts.
Yeah,
that's
true.
All I want to see.
Gladiatorial.
That's all I want to see when I watch England. You know, when I was in the pubs in Clapham, that's what all us guys were talking about. You know, yes, we lost, but what those boys took from that weekend will stand them in bloody good stead. For me, if I was an England rugby player, I'd be putting that game on my bloody CV.
Well,
you learn a lot about yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, I'm very passionate, Freddie. I've come to this podcast and I'm pumped.
Well, is it any fluke that the two players who got Man of the Match, Jack Nowell and Ellis Genge, both fans of the pod?
No.
Both
is
friends of the pod?
Absolutely not. No, no, no. I've been in touch with Genji and Nowell.
Pre-game and post.
Yeah, yeah. Throughout the Six Nations.
Okay.
Just, they never come back to me, but I just send them, you know, little nuggets.
Yeah.
Last time I sent Genji was last Monday, just before the
just
Iron Game.
What?
And I said, a wise man once said, a pebble can be strong, but a stone can be stronger. And I made that up.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you think about it, and if you really think about it, it really does make a lot of sense.
So I thought you meant to be going to Twickenham there. What happened? Couldn't get tickets?
No, it's an absolute nightmare.
Well, go on, Archie, all this.
One of my very good friends, yeah. William Langton, or we call him Langers.
Oh, God, that's really good.
He had a ticket for me, but in the last moment, his brother wanted to come. So I just stayed back in Clapham, and I just watched it in the old town.
By yourself?
I was on the job, really. As CEO of Clapham, I was popping into a number of venues, making sure things are ticking off, because quite worryingly, Freddie, and disturbingly, you know, I have been made aware in the last couple of Six Nations weekends, a few guys from Putney have been getting into the pubs.
Really?
And so we had a big meeting on Thursday, and I managed to get a couple of guys from the Inferno security team to just parole a number of the venues around Old Town. Now, we can't do the whole of Clapham. We just can't. We haven't got the resources.
No.
Inflation's happening.
Yeah.
It does cost a lot.
You've lost your main
some
backhand.
To get through the net, but Old Town is, you know,
it's
that's
clear.
Our Kiev, and we will not let them in.
Live from Clapham with the CEO himself, this is Clapham News.
Here are the headlines from around Clapham on the 17th of March. Last Saturday, Operation Codename No Hockey was implemented in Clapham Old Town and saw three people removed from number 32 on suspicion of playing hockey. From the 1st of April, Clapham head office have introduced a program for all overweight residents, whereby they will need to carry two 20k kettlebells everywhere they go. The CEO of Clapham, who happens to be one of the best-looking people in the area, is set to open his first restaurant. Chicken and Banter will open up in Clapham Common this summer, providing people with plenty of protein and a side of banter. In sport, it is only 5 weeks away now to the war in Wandsworth. Buy your tickets now to watch one of the most devastating boxing matches in history. And in entertainment news, O-Town, one of America's greatest bands, are set to make their live comeback this year at SW4, totally funded by the CEO of Clapham, who's a big admirer of the band.
So, Archie, this weekend brings an end to the Six Nations.
Sadly does.
It's not been great for England on the pitch, but what a period it is. I know you live for it. It's your favourite 2 months of the year.
Yeah.
So how depressed are you going to be when England probably lose to France and Paris on Saturday? You got to wait another year until you can get, you know, get lashed again.
Clody, you're right. When the Six Nations are here, Clody, I absolutely love it. You know, I'm really there for the moment.
You do. You live for
and
it.
When it goes, you're right. I do mourn. I do get a little bit down. Very much like my interactions with my various stepmothers over the years. The good thing is, we're off to the Showdown 2 in partnership with City Index.
Of course we are.
Saracens taking on the Bristol Bears. We've been going on about it for weeks.
Yeah.
And that is really a nice way to finish. That softens the blow.
So you generally don't mind the Six Nations coming to end because you're like so excited for that game.
It's like my stepmom leaves my dad, but she becomes friends with me on Facebook.
Which
has happened a few times.
Really?
Yeah.
So it is.
It's like the stepmom I've never had, the Showdown 2. And I can't wait.
Well, your challenge, Archie, obviously, let's not forget that, was to bring Clapham to Tottenham.
Yeah.
Because you were quite scared of Tottenham, but now you're familiarised with it. So what have you actually got organised for the players' game?
I'm organising a big tent outside the stadium, which will have Gales, Infernos, Joe and the Juice, and a Jack Wills pop-up.
Wow, that's incredible.
Just to bring the Clapham vibe to Tottenham. And give them a real flavour about what rugby's all about.
And have you been in contact with a couple of the boys playing? Dave Atwood, the light they got back to you?
Yeah, Dave Atwood, I'm continually in contact with over Facebook Messenger. And yeah, he's really looking forward to it. And I'm really looking forward to seeing Dave. And I'm hoping to catch up with a couple of the Saris guys, you know, Goody, Skeezy, all those guys. But yeah, it's going to be a special day. And I cannot wait to get down there. We're going to be going. And unfortunately, I won't be drinking. But I'll still be having a bloody good time.
I must, just before we finish off, Arch, I do want to know, who are you supporting? Because 1 week it's Bristol, 1 week it's Saracens. Dave Atwood didn't get back to your Facebook messages, so is it back to Saracens?
No. Dave and me are always talking on Facebook. We're always talking. It's Bristol. I'm putting my faith in Bristol to beat Saracens.
Well, if you guys are as big fans as Archie of the rugby, then clear those Six Nations blues and get hold of the tickets for the Showdown 2 in association with City Index, and we'll see you there. So, Archie, I was going to book in a guest this week, and then you said, hold your horses, Fred.
Yeah.
I've got someone who's not only a current England player, but he's a current big deal, and we're best mates. And I said, mate, you're not best mates with anyone. And you said, look, here's a photo of us drinking together last summer.
Yeah. Yeah, so I got in contact with Loro. You guys will know him as Ollie Lawrence, but I know him as Loro or O-L. And I said, listen, mate, it's about time we got you on and had a bit of banter. So I think what I'll do is if you pass me the ball from scrum half, I'll pick up a fly half and I'll just put a little chip in behind and see if Ollie's there.
Okay, here we go.
Here he is. Finally makes it on the Rig Biz podcast.
Looking absolutely fantastic. Is that a fresh haircut, Ollie?
Yeah, fresh bit of dye.
Yeah, that is nice. That is nice. I can tell when you and Francois Huga are together, whoa, the ladies are getting moist. The ladies are getting moist.
He's also had his teeth done a bit like you,
yeah,
actually.
Yeah.
Same guy?
It might be. I know Ollie, so I've sort of set him up with a few contacts.
Right,
so,
okay. Yeah. How do you guys know each other? Maybe you should tell the listeners.
Well, it's a long story, but we enjoyed many a beer in the summer at the ship. You know, Ollie was asking me all kinds of advice, but yeah, honestly, people just got excited by just the sight of one of the best semi-professional tens and one of the best, you know, centers in the game. You know, people asking, you know, are you guys going to play together? I said, guys, just let it be. We're interested in the beers, guys. All right, can we just... Can we just have a bit of time together? But
who is getting more attention in the pub?
You are. Well, it's, you know, I don't want to say. I mean, those artists like me, Ollie, Cockinessinger, JJ's brother. I don't know his name, but I just kept calling him JJ's brother. And yeah, I wasn't on their table, but they quickly got me over there just to enjoy the chat.
Let me start by finding out, how did you find out about the self-proclaimed magician Archie Curzon, and what's he been able to sort of teach you since you discovered him?
I think I came across. Came across him on Instagram maybe a couple of years ago, and then I saw Alfie Barber is one of my mates, and I remember seeing him post on a few stories and comments on the page, and I think kind of from that I just followed, had a close eye, keeping up with what's going on.
Yeah, it's got a lot of these younger players, Freddie. They look up to me in a
Do
way.
They?
Yeah. Especially Alfie Barfrey. I mean, the nice thing about Alfie, he's calmed down the last 6 months. There was periods where he was messaging me and voice noting me, wanting me to come to his room, like all kinds of weird stuff. But you can see, you know, Ollie, Alfie, they're all in the England. They're in the mix.
Since they started following you, their careers have improved dramatically.
I would say so. It would be devastating if, you know, I'd met them as toddlers, because, you know, they would have exploded onto the international scene by 16. It's a great honor. It's a cross I bear. You know, I have to look after these boys. There's a lot of the young guns are looking up to me.
Archie always said that Worcester is the most boring club in the world, and they should sign someone like him to spice it up, bring some panaz. What do you make of those comments, Ollie? Is it a boring place to be? And Archie, has Steve Diamond been in touch?
No, I think, those comments probably aren't fair, really. I wouldn't say it's a boring club. I think we probably underachieved in our time, especially in the Premiership. But I think we've got some serious talent within the squad. I think with the right guidance, I think we'll progress as a club.
Yeah, I mean, Steve hasn't been in touch, but I imagine me and Dymo, I don't know whether we'd get on well. You know, I'm very much like a Chris Ashton character. You know, I'm controversial, you know. Some of my training methods wouldn't go down well with Steve Diamond.
Like what?
I would insist in us doing our defense drills naked.
Why?
Because I think that it makes you more vulnerable. And that's the key to defense, is being vulnerable. Just like in a relationship, you know, it's better to be naked. Right, okay. That's something I learned at boarding school from very early on. I'd love to come in there. I mean, imagine me. I mean, look at the commercial weight I'd bring. You've got someone like Billy Searle there. I mean, who is that guy? I could just come in there. I bring all the Instagram followers. We'd be TikToking. We'd be doing, you know, Q&As. It would be Worcester start rising up the charts. Me and Ollie would probably go on Strictly Come Dancing in the season. But we'd say, listen, guys, we're doing it for the commercial value of the club. We're putting Worcester on the map.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Ollie, obviously, you guys sort of idolise Archie down in Worcester. But you do have some weird characters in the squad. I mean, Jack Owlett, he does look a bit of a creep. What's he like on a night out?
Yeah, good lad. I mean, he's a harmless bloke. I think he's very, very chilled out bloke. Obviously, his first season at Worcester. But he's been a few nights out with us, and he's been all right so far. No problems at all.
Who's Jack Owlett?
Croc.
Oh, poor bloke. Poor bloke. It's going to take him a few years to mature. Guess he's single.
He's married.
Oh, no. He's like one of those guys. He's had his girlfriend since school. He found someone and latched onto them and thought, I'm not losing this. I'm loving this. I don't want to lose this at all. Yeah, I know the kind of guys. Those guys normally turn out to be accountants.
Yeah,
that's safe. They're safe. He's too scared to drop the ball. And that's, you know, that he needs to get his comfort zone. I'm guessing you might listen to this. Jack Dumper, how long has he been with her for? How long has he been with her for?
I don't know. Maybe like
too long, years. Jack.
He's
too
married.
Long.
He's married. It'll be a divorce.
Well, good. It will make him a better player.
Well, talking about a man who's, you know, a bit naughty on a night out, you and Francois have had some good nights out together since he came on the podcast.
What a guy. What a
And he got up to some no good things with the girls.
What a beautiful chassis. What a beautiful human. What a beautiful soul. What I would do to be naked with Ollie and Francois doing some defensive drills. That really would be magnificent.
That's the dream
beautiful.
Come true.
Yeah.
Ollie, what did you make of, you know, just make it a tiny bit serious about the Ruggers quickly. What did you make of England's performance against Ireland at the weekend? Gladiatorial stuff in their sort of heroism to fight, but obviously we lose again.
It was a tough defeat. I think going down 40 men early didn't make the job easy, but I thought the boys, they dug in there for like 65, 70 minutes. And then obviously Ireland, with the numbers they had, I think towards the end of the game, just kind of it took its toll. But I think, yeah, it was a valiant performance. I think I'm disappointed to have lost the way they did, but I think they did the best they could with 14 men.
Ollie, you played against
the only thing I'd say about England, and I don't want to be mean to him, and I'm sure Ollie's not going to say anything. And he's a fantastic player. He follows me. He's great, very nice guy. But Max Malins, he looks like a geography teacher that has won a competition to play an England team. He sort of looks slightly bewildered on the weekend. And I feel like, again, give me an hour with him and I would be making him, you know,
next level.
He'd be sweating confidence, you know, with me. You know, who's the guy on the wing, low? He wouldn't have a chance if I had an hour with Max Malins. Just what I'd do is I'd get a sweatband big enough for two heads and I'd tape it around so our foreheads are attached, almost kissing lips. And I just get him to repeat into my eyes, like, I am Max Maland. I'm a rugby player and I'm hard as nails. I am not a geography student. And by that time, he'd be ready. But yeah, no, great effort from all the team, actually. Poor old Max.
Well, Ollie, you played against Ireland a couple of times now for England. Why are they such an annoying team to play against? And also, who's the chirpiest of all the Irish on the pitch?
I think they're just like a physical team. Like, I think that's what's been installed with them ever since I played against them and watched them. I think they're just, when they certainly play against England as well, the kind of the physicality of the game just goes to another level.
Are you a person that gets psyched up? Do you need me to record some stuff so you can listen to before the game? Or are you quite a relaxed person?
Yeah, I'm quite chilled. I just like listen to my music, do my own thing, and then when I'm out onto the field, I'm kind of building towards it. And then as soon as I run out before the kickoff, that's when I'm ready to go.
Maybe I could just record like something just quite chilled out, you know, like, Ollie, just relax, get the ball and sidestep, and you can do it all. Just remember, it's not just about attack, it's about defense. Let's get down today. Twickenham is booming. Let's keep going all the way. The time is right. Let's get in a fight and let's win. And then let's go to Marmalanges or Mahikis.
Something
like that. Well, I can record it later. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think that would work incredibly
well.
Yeah,
I'm sort of working on an album in the background, saying quite chilled for like, you know, chill
people. The chill players.
Yeah. And then I'm working on a rock album for like people like Genji, just saying to get a bit more pump.
Ollie, obviously you're out injured at the moment. How frustrating is it to be out injured, especially when there's a lot of opportunities in the centres at the moment, lots of injuries going around. You'd been playing every match in the Six Nations, no doubt. And also, I remember when Archie was out with an Achilles injury for a couple of months, he spent his whole time just working his upper body and also watching porn. And
I was working on upper body while watching porn.
Oh, whilst watching porn, sorry. So Ollie, how are you spending your hours?
Yeah, a lot of time kind of in the gym rehabbing, and then away from the club, just been like gaming. I got a puppy like right at the start when I got injured, so I kind of been chilling with him.
Oh yeah,
that's about it really. It's just been
Now it all makes sense. You're just you and Francois going for dinner with the puppy. Hello, ladies. There's a soft side to me. I don't just eat people in the tackle. I can stroke this guy, and he loves to be rubbed on his belly. Yeah.
Very
that
clever.
That is beautiful. And I mean, on dating profiles, just to see, like, first profile would be Ollie on the international stage, you know, just getting an action shot of the ball, just dodging. And then the next one's just him, like, rubbing a dog down here. And then the next one's just in dupes, just relaxing. Maybe a nice gin tonic. I haven't even seen your
Ollie is laughing because you are completely correct. Yeah, Ollie, yeah. Tell us about Raya. Tell us about Tinder. How's it going?
Not going on at the moment. You know, just having a little window shopping, as they call it.
Well, yeah, no, tell us. Surely you've had some good experiences on those apps.
Yeah, I think anyone has, especially anyone that...
Well, he hasn't. He's not been allowed on the app.
No. I'm not on Rare, but I absolutely smash Hinge. I've got a lot of success on Hinge. I've got a great shot. My photo is, and listeners won't be able to see, but it's just me in my office, my feet up here, and I've got red socks on, and I'm just talking on the phone. And that straight away, and I'm wearing tight trousers, so you can see the crutch of my ball sack, and it just is enough to intrigue them, enough to message me.
It's sort
say,
of soft but professional.
Are you that guy from? Yes, I am.
Ollie, obviously you may have to come down to London. I'm guessing you live near or in Worcester.
Probably Cheltenham. Cheltenham?
Nah, Worcester at the moment.
They need to give you a better contract. Do you want me to sort that out? You want me to sort that out? That is...
Right,
I'll come and negotiate. We need to get your house in Cheltenham. If you're staying at Worcester and you're going to give them your soul, they need to repay you. We'll get you a nice house in Cheltenham. Commercial break. Hey, guys. Sorry to bother you. I know you're in an important podcast meeting listening to me and Ollie Lawrence have some seriously good banter. Seriously, how good is the chat? Week after week, I deliver it to you for free. You're welcome. Anyway, I'm here to advertise in your ears, so get ready. This week, I was looking for a product that I genuinely use, and this is a product I use currently because my next-door neighbour, Albert, for a lot of you will know, is the man that shaves me every other week, is sadly in hospital. Nothing serious, guys. He's going to survive, but he's going to be out of action for at least another 7 to 8 weeks. So I got in contact with Manscaped, and they gave me the Manscaped bundle, which included the Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker for your ear and nose hair, ball deodorant, ball toner, and some performance boxer briefs, which means they don't make you sweat downstairs, which is great when you're crossfitting. All you have to do is go on the Manscaped website, type in the code RIGBIZ20, and you get 20% off plus free shipping. Guys, you're welcome, and this has been great fun to advertise in your ears. Anyway, let's get back to the podcast because it's a real good one. It's such a current player. How do we get these guys? I don't know. We're very, very talented. We've got a great research team. Me.
Well, Ollie, you're still so young, but you've already had 7 caps for England. You'd obviously heard a lot about the weird and wonderful Eddie Jones before joining England. But what was he like when you were going to your first training camp? What sort of surprised you the most about him? Apparently, you know, we've had 15, 16 guys on the show being like, he's completely crazy. So what sort of creeped you out? What was weird? What was crazy about him?
I think he's a character. He gets the best out of players in their own way. So I think I've previously said, the conversation he has with any other player is always different. Like, you never know what you're going to get. But I think that's like one of the best things about Eddie. Like, you're always on your toes, always kind of wanting to get better. And I think he pushes you to do that. And then probably the things that, to be fair, when I first went into camp, I was never really called my name. I was always called Chubbs because my skin folds are a bit too high. So I just wanted to get rid of that name after a while.
Did you manage to get rid of it?
Yeah, I was called Chubbless. I was Chubbless after 2 weeks.
Yeah, because when I saw Ollie, we got our tops off at the ship.
Right, okay.
And we're just sitting there just you know, chatting the breeze, the tops off, just a couple of rigs, enjoying a couple of vodka lime and sodas.
So Eddie uses...
And actually, we had this phenomenal conversation. We both, you know, we both had a few, and we're just talking resting heart rate. We're talking skin folds. And we were talking like just gym. And I think that's actually really quite an interesting thing for a lot of the fans of rugby. When you do meet rugby players, those are the kind of things they want to talk about. How much chat do you get from Eddie Jones now? You're out injured. Because obviously we had like Lewis Ludham on, and he said that, you know, Eddie Jones had been in contact with him when he was off. Like, does Eddie Jones drop you a text and go like, Ollie, mate. Got to fucking keep your rig in check, mate.
No, I've not spoken to him since the autumn. So yeah, read into that as you do.
No, I don't speak to my dad much, but we still have a lovely relationship.
Currently, Archie's serialising his gap year diary, which is a diary he wrote the first year he worked in the city in Canary Wharf.
Yeah.
And it's doing pretty well, going up to 2,500 people a week on, you know, whatever, subscription. People loving his tales from the past. But there was one where his dad wrote him a rather nasty text, and then he had to react to that and get a job. And since then, he's flourished, or at least he pretends he has.
No, I have.
But with you, Eddie obviously made some comments being like, you're a kid, you're only 21. Oh, I'll quote it. But the way that some of the media raves about him, you'd think he's already assured of becoming one of the best players in the world. He might do that one day, but his attitude was not hungry or disciplined enough. How livid were you when you first had those...
Wait, is Eddie Jones American?
Oh, is that an American accent?
I don't know. It felt like you'd made Eddie Jones American.
Oh, no, sorry. I was just trying to get...
But his attitude was not hungry, mate, or disciplined enough, mate.
That's Welsh.
I was doing a Welsh accent there.
But Ollie, honestly, when you first heard those comments, what do you make of them? And, you know, a couple of years on, do you think he had any validity in what he said?
Yeah, I think from the time that he spoke about and released those comments, I think that was probably a fair view of where I probably was at. It was when I first went into camp. I probably still had a bit left in me that I probably was still getting to terms with. Instead of just flying into it, I probably tried to make my way slowly, step by step. Whereas if you go balls to the wall from the start, I mean, that's the level you need to be at. And then you can only push on from there. So I think I wasn't livid when I saw the comments. I think they were fair comments. I think the timing of them was probably something that I wish had been cleared up. But I mean, it is what it is. It's one person's opinion, and we move on from there.
Well, Ollie, talking about training and talking about being in camp, who do you get on best with in the England camp? And who's the weirdest? Who's the weirdest guy in camp?
Best I've gone with is probably like Sinks, Ant Watson and Genge. Probably those three. I don't know if he's weird.
Come on.
I think everyone's just like...
Tom Curry, apparently he's weird.
a few weird comments here and there. Probably, yeah. That's fair point.
I watched Sinks' documentary the other day. And it was
very
serious, very serious. There was one bit that did amuse me. It felt like it was a scene from The Office where he was like trying to climb a gate, and it made no sense. And he was like, that's where I used to jump over to play football. And I was like, okay. And he didn't even climb the gate. He just put his foot up. It was really, really strange. Can you imagine me and Sinks getting on well?
No.
No.
Why not?
That would make the beauty of the relationship. It would be one of those where, you know, people wouldn't think it happened, and next thing you know, we've opened up a cafe together.
You know? Well, Ollie, a lot of people, when they first meet Arch in the city, they're terrified of him. You know, he's quite a big guy, big figure. Yeah. He's scary.
Yeah.
So when you were coming into the England camp for the first time before, you know, your first cap for your debut, who was the intimidating figure who you were scared of? Who may not have turned out to be scared, but who you were terrified of?
Yeah, probably Faz. I think, he's quite a direct person. I'd only like kind of seen glimpses from afar. So he's probably, someone that was, I was intrigued to kind of get to grips with, kind of understand going into camp anyway.
I wonder, how long have you been at Worcester now?
My fourth season.
Oh, are you thinking about moving on from Worcester? I mean, obviously, we can't stay in one club forever. We've seen it work wonders for Francois, not only with the lid, but also with the ladies.
Where's the cash, baby? Show me the money.
I don't know.
How many more years do you have with Worcester on your contract? Just the one.
Wow. Okay.
So, Archie, do you want to take proceedings from here? Or?
I don't know. Well, I'd love to see Ollie. I'm just trying to think certainly not Newcastle. That'd be awful. That's where rugby players go to die. You know the scene in Lion King when Simba goes to the elephant graveyard and the hyenas are there? That's Newcastle. It's like, you know, if I was Ollie's dad, I'd come up to him and say, listen, everything the light touches is yours. Yeah. And then Ollie goes, what about that? I said, that's Newcastle. Don't go there.
And we hope you're well, Mike Brown, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Mike Brown. Friend of the podcast. Right. Maybe Quinton. I can't see that.
I think he's going to Wasps.
Wow. I mean, that would be glorious. I mean, the papers would write the reunion of Francois and Ollie together. Yeah. And instead of, because at the moment they have the pictures of the rugby players, their kids on the field, but it would just be Francois and Ollie and the dog. And it would be beautiful. And Stooks is there. It would be, I mean, it's dangerous. It is dangerous.
Yeah. Ollie, obviously we all know debutants for England for their first cap have to do an initiation where they have a drink with every coach and every player of the squad. How did you fare during your initiation? Did you shame yourself?
No, I wasn't too bad. I think my singing was probably the worst. But I mean, luckily, like some of the boys that came over to drink were choosing like not too bad drinks, like shots and stuff. Certain boys like Mako were just getting like 2 pints, and then I was just like, this isn't great. And then I remember Johnny May got me Aperol, straight Aperol. I was like, yeah, nah, that's not great. It was okay. I didn't embarrass myself too much. I think I was at a good level.
Unlike Archie, who managed to play for the thirds or fourths at school.
No, first 15.
Well, you were a national swimmer. You played for Aston Villa and Birmingham at football. You also played cricket for Warwickshire County Cricket Club. Let's start with the football. You're playing with the likes of who? Jude Bellingham? Just give us a bit of flavour of life playing professional football.
He was like two years below me when I think I was there. And then he literally moved up to like he was like 7 or 8, maybe just like under 12s as I left to go play for Villa. So that's the only one that I really remember that was like really kicked on. And obviously now he's smashing it. Cricket, so you've got like Tom Banton, who's obviously been in the England team, plays at Somerset. He's class. He was unbelievable from when we were like kids. Like he was a joke, just good at all the sports. And then I kind of just didn't love playing football anymore. I kind of enjoyed playing with my mates more than I did playing at academy. And then cricket was kind of the number one from then. And then rugby then came into the picture about 14, 15, and went from there.
When are you back?
I reckon about 4 weeks. Hopefully back for my first game against Wasps.
That will be a tasty
spicy
affair.
Tie. Yeah.
Just a little bit of, hey guys, look what I can do.
Yeah.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo!
He's up to us.
300,000, baby. Woo! That's not even the try bonus.
There's no sort of more famous rugby player in the world than Ben Teo for strange stories, bust ups, and the rest. I know you're great mates with Ben. He's probably one of life's loosest characters. What were the weird memories you've had with Ben along the way? I mean, surely there was a moment where you just said, Ben, what the hell are you doing, sir?
Yeah, it's probably my first season. We were in pre-season and we were out in Spain. And we'd finished like our week and we went to a beach club with all the boys and all the coaches. And all I remember is coming down and Benny just hand over our coach, like fag in hand, pint in the other. He's got the coach's glasses on his face. And the look in the coach was just like, I was just like, yeah, this isn't going to end up well. So that was it. I don't think he played too much after that for us.
Is Benny Teo still playing?
Playing over in Australia, I think.
Fuck, that guy is loose. What about when Chris Ashton was there? Was he pretty loose? Or can you not really comment?
Yeah, what happened with Ashton? Let's get down to
it. I think Chris, he just bit his tongue quite a lot. And I think that was probably the best thing at the club. But yeah, no, Chris is a good character. He's a good lad. I like Chris. He just says it how it is. I don't have any problem with someone saying how it is.
But was he, obviously, we hear a lot on this podcast about training ground bust-ups and arguments. Was he arguing quite a lot with the coaching staff, with the rest of his team?
No, he wasn't too bad. He just, like I said, he spoke his opinion. Some people are going to like it when you speak how you do and some people aren't.
Does he have jet?
Does he have chat?
You don't have to lie, you can be honest. Ben Youngs.
No chat.
Maro Toje. Carl Singler.
Chat.
When he climbs bloody fences, that guy. He's amazing.
Jamie George.
Chat.
Owen Farrell.
Chat.
No.
No way. We'll have it. We'll not have that. That is absolute rubbish. We're not talking about.
Are we talking about talking or actual chat?
Yeah, just chat. No, Owen Farrell ain't going to have chat about a night out. Oh, he's going to be like, get fucking up on defence. We're blitzing here. They're not going to fucking pull you away. We'll get someone else in. Eddie, Ollie's not fucking come up on defence. That's his kind of chat.
Okay, I'll ask you again. Owen Farrell.
Chat.
Anthony Watson.
Chat.
Matt Garvey.
Chat.
And to finish off, Courtney Laws.
chat. Yeah.
Ollie Lawrence, yeah, we wish you the best of luck with your injury and we hope to see you out on the pitch.
Lauro,
soon.
Love Thank and champagne, so my friend. On, I'll see you in the ship in the summer. I cannot wait. I'm lining up a big, big day with Cock and a Singer, you and Stooksy. Love and champagne. Love and champagne.
Fair play, mate. He loves you, that guy. I think he loves you more than Barbary. Mate, and that's saying something.
He is solid.
Loves you.
Yeah. Really, really good guy. Really like Ollie Lawrence. A real unknown fact we forgot to cover in that interview. He is a massive World of Warcraft fan.
Oh, good.
So if there are any World of Warcraft nuts out there, then just drop Ollie a message. He'd love to hear from you.
Chassis and Chicas, welcome to my question time. You're welcome.
Welcome to my question time. Baby girl, I'm feeling fine, but time for question comes alive. I need to help you fucking thrive. Need to help you grow and find. Triple A, you know what time. Something here to heal your mind. Archie Gerson's question time.
So, Archie, it's now time for your favourite section. Come on, admit it.
Yeah,
question
time. I've got to be honest. Yeah, I absolutely love this section.
You really do, don't you?
This is the section this podcast has been craving, you know. A serious and politically charged section.
Well, last week we only got one question.
Yeah, but...
Not that many people showed an interest in you.
But I haven't been off asking not near enough questions. And I think that's just because people are busy. I'm bloody busy. It's coming close to the end of Q1 and people have put the pedal to the metal. And naturally, as you come to the end of Q1, you do have more time to contemplate stuff and ask questions. And so I'm hoping this week we've got a few more questions. Naturally, well, you'd see that.
Well, we do, actually.
Yeah, I thought so.
So let me play a couple of them and hopefully you can give out some sort of words of wisdom.
Archie mode, hope this finds you well. Once you knocked out Pano, who would you rather fight next? The Putney hockey team captain or Dylan Hartley? Love and champagne.
That's a wonderful voice.
Lovely voice, yeah. Humble turns.
Yeah. After I knock out Pano, and trust me, Clody, I am going to fucking knock him out.
That's going to happen.
I'd be very happy to consider Dylan Hartley only if he has a shower before he gets in the ring, because, my God, the man stinks of sausage rolls and it's unbearable. I mean, not many people know that, but I didn't start that rumour. But the rumour has it, he smells like a Greg's
so
sausage roll.
You're calling out Dylan Hartley now?
Yeah, after Pano, Dylan Hartley can get it.
Hi, Archie. Hope you're doing well, mate. My name's Louis, and I've just got a quick question for you, really. So I'm at university, so I'm going on plenty of nights out. And on some nights out, I actually put in quite a good shift, and I will manage to actually get a girl back to mine. The only problem I've had is sometimes these girls don't always look like they did on the actual night out itself. So my question for you really is, how do you manage to avoid them beer goggles and maintain your high standards throughout the night?
Great question, Louis.
Fantastic question.
Yeah, really good question. Shame about the accent. Poor guy.
Well, he's still
surprising that he's getting girls back, but fair enough. Louis, what I suggest is when you do start conversing with the chica, as I always do, get your Instagram out, get her Instagram out, and just have a little look through that. Just make sure that her Instagram is consistent with her. And you know you found a good girl when all the photos are just her.
Okay.
Are just her in various poses. Sometimes there'll be a photo and then you swipe across and she's walking. And it's just brilliant. If you get a girl like that, she's very imaginative. So, Louis, get her Instagram out. Have an inspect of that. Just have a riff through her Instagram photos and just make sure they're consistent.
Thank you for that, Louis. And the next one, sir.
Here's a serious question for you. Who is the most beautiful woman in the world? Would you rather sleep with her, but nobody is allowed to know that you've slept with her, or the whole world thinks you've slept with her, but you didn't? Which would you choose? Serious questions, man.
Very, very serious question.
Okay, all right, okay.
Very serious question. No, it is, Freddie. A very serious part of the podcast. That's a real conundrum.
You're all tongue twister.
But I think, you know, I think everyone knowing that you slept with someone in the world would really up your ranking.
Yeah.
And so I would, I'm not that fussed. At the moment, I'm not that fussed about having sex because all I'm concentrating on, all my energy, all my sexual energy is going into the Pano fight. So actually, right now, you catch me in the most beautiful woman in the world, I just make sure that everyone knows I made love to her.
So have you stopped masturbating then in the lead up to the fight?
Mate, that's none of your business.
No, but you don't have sex. So.
No, I'll just tell you this. I've taken down my Yasmin Bleeth poster, my Melinda Messenger poster, my Kelly Brook
poster and the photo I have of Danny Cipriani and his wife in a frame. I've taken that down and I've just replaced it with four posters of Alex Payne. And I look at those every night. You be the judge of
it. Is he topless?
Look, I don't want to go into too much detail about my preparation, Fred.
Okay.
That's what I'm doing. So the answer to the question is, I wouldn't sleep with her, but I'd let everyone think that I have slept with her.
Okay.
Archie, I hope this finds you well. I'm reaching out because one of my friends, Robert, he hasn't been getting any success with the Cheekers recently. You know, he goes to a pretty minor public school and he blames his height on for not getting any Cheekers on everything, you know. He just says he needs to be taller than the girls, but he's smaller than them all, and he just needs some motivation about what to do and how to pick up some Cheekers.
Wow. Firstly, if any of our younger listeners, that's probably a prime example not to do drugs. Wow.
Yeah, makes my mind messy.
I'm not too sure about his friend Robert, but I will address that guy because it's quite a serious point of the podcast. I would just tell that guy to lay off the drugs. And don't worry about your friend Robert, just worry about yourself. I think we'll finish it there. I hope that guy gets the professional help he needs because, wow, he sounded very unwell. He was either on drugs or very dehydrated, I'm not too sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to put your money where your mouth is as we listen to Archie Kerris' tips of the week before taking him on Unsettle It. Download the app now.
So, Archie, now it's time for a little Sell It section, and we are, of course, back again with the Six Nations Rugby, and it's going to be a finale to a wonderful, wonderful 2022.
It's been a beautiful tournament. This week I wrote a lovely worded email to the organiser of Six Nations saying, well done, bravo, keep it up.
Well, I know this is going to be your last Saturday of lashing, and what a Saturday, because we've got three matches in one. We've got three matches in one day. They're not spread over 2 days. It's going to be the biggest Saturday.
You know what's happening? I'm getting a little bit moist on my bottom.
Well, no, try and behave yourself because it took me a while to clean that up last week.
It does get me excited.
Okay, well, Archie, kicking off on Saturday, we've got the Welsh, who've been very unlucky this tournament, against the Italians.
Clearly, I think Wales are overdue a devastating performance. They have been unlucky, you're right. And a lot of those guys follow me. You know, Cuthers, who's having a bit of a renaissance.
Yeah,
he follows me and all of a sudden he's doing well on the international stage. I mean, where is my cut? So I actually think Wales will win that by 47 points.
47 points?
Yeah.
Okay. And then later that day, we go to the Irish, who are hoping that the English can do them a favour later in the night as they come up against the Scots at the Aviva Stadium in Dublin. How do you see that one playing out?
I actually think Scotland are going to beat Ireland.
No.
Yes, I think Scotland are going to...
Scotland have been awful since week one.
No. But I think Scotland are going to put something together next week.
They nearly lost to Italy this weekend.
I don't think Ireland played particularly well this weekend. And I think Scotland are going to have Van der Merwe back. I think they're going to win by 7 points.
You think Scotland are going to win by 7 points? Well, okay. Well, if you want to take Archie up on that, please, please do. And then finally, the big one, the French versus the English. The old allies, but now foes. What's going to happen in the South of France?
I don't know whether... I doubt I'll be sober for this one, but I'm going England by 15.
England by 15?
Yeah. I truly believe there's going to be a performance that is going to send tremors through the rugby world. And I think we're going to turn over France in their backyard. I think England will win by 15 points. You've heard it here first. I'm very
I think you're going
wrong.
Crazy with the amount of Six Nations rugby that you've seen.
No. If there's one thing I know is rugby, and I'm looking you dead in the eye, and England are going to win that match by 15 points.
So in the final weekend where both Ireland and France need a win to win, neither will win. You've heard it here first. If you want to take Archie Curzon up on that, then please get his number from the bio in this box, download Settle It, and take him on. So, ladies and gentlemen, that brings an end to another episode of the Rugby's Podcast. And Archie, it was a pleasure to spend time with you and a pleasure to meet Ollie Lawrence, your best mate.
Yeah. It's been a phenomenal podcast in all departments. The sections have been tight. The chat has been tight. And I don't want to bang on about O-Town, Clodie, as I was in the beginning.
Don't.
But they really were the Rolling Stones of their generation. They wrote one of the most beautiful songs that I think if I get married, this will probably be the song that I walk down the aisle to.
Right.
And they said, you know, it's because I want it all or nothing at all. And there's nowhere left to fall. When you reach the bottom, it's now or never. And that's the way I really feel about this podcast. We give blood, sweat and tears. People listen to ears and I just think, wow, we are just delivering chat upon chat upon chat. In a way, a chocolate chatto.
Okay, Archie. Well, I think you've completely lost it, so you've gone deluded. The amount of punches... Are you wearing a head guard when you go boxing? Because I think you are going insane.
Cody, funny you bring up the boxing.
Go on.
I mean, last week, we did release £50 tickets, and they are flying, baby. They are for our less fortunate listeners, people who may have just started out in their careers, people who might work in advertising and don't get paid very much, but they say they'd do it for the love of the job.
Yeah.
Certainly not something I'd want to be part of.
No, they're more certain of being creative than making money.
But it is going to be a truly spectacular night. And I know a lot of people listen and they'll think, oh, I'll get that in a couple of weeks. But tickets are going. And I think by the end of this month, they will be sold out. There are £250 tickets. And I know... As we speak, currently recording it, I think 87 have been sold.
Okay.
So if you want to be part of one of the loosest nights in history and watch me KO Pano with a sweet uppercut.
And then dance the night away with Hask.
Yeah, there is information for an after party coming soon, which is going to be fucking loose. So okay. Yeah, do get involved. It's going to be great. Two amazing courses, the Brain Tumor for Charity and Restart Rugby. It is going to be... Beautiful.
Well, Archie, all it leaves me to say is for your last Saturday lash before the fight in a month or so time, what's the plan?
It's a tricky one. It's an all-dayer. It's a Gary player.
It's a Gary player.
I think you'll catch me for the first game down Northcote Road. You know, moosh boosh. I'll be in Northcote Road, dipping and diving into bars, making sure things are ticking along. For the starter, you know, the Ireland-Scotland game, I'll probably be up round Clapham South. Just seeing how that area operates. Probably around the Aberville Road area.
Oh, lovely.
It's a great area to be for the main event, 8 p.m. I'll be in Old Town, probably in the Old Town Tavern, probably sinking about 7 or 8 more lash pints, getting rather rowdy. And for dessert, I'll be licking infernos.
Well, Archie, it's been an absolute pleasure.
Yeah.
Good luck with the hygiene.
Likewise. It's been a great podcast. Yeah, I hope we play some O-Town on the way out, because they really were. I don't want to bang on about O-Town, but, you know, they were not just the Rolling Stones, they were the Nickelback of their generation.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.